All right, it's time to talk with TD. Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter.
The song
for
was
ESPN.
Played last night. I heard this song last night.
Yeah, they did a good job with the music last night on The Last Dance, and we'll certainly get into that.
Although, I think Teron can back me up on this, because I own the album, Cool Moe Dee. That album came out a couple years before the first title of the Bulls. That album was out in the 80s, because I was in high school, and they did not win the first title until 91. But
did you have
still,
the album, or did you
choice.
Have the cassette?
Well, it was the cassette.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Teron, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Just like Cool Moe Dee said, coming back like Return of the Jedi.
That's right.
Have you been watching The Last Dance?
I did. Yeah, I've been watching. Of course, man. That's the best program on television right now. I watched Volume 2 again, and then I watched 3 and 4. And loved it, man. It's a great program. And I love the music selection. I think the best was that 86 game 2 against the Celtics when they used LL, I'm Bad. That was, yeah. Whoever's doing that, definitely give them props.
That's right.
Yeah, I think of guys like Marquise and Elijah and Chase who did it for a long time. Like that. I know, like, for them, that when you have that mindset – they can appreciate that. I'm sure those guys were like, oh, yeah, that good bump right there. That's
ear
a perfect
candy,
spot
baby.
For that, right? Exactly.
Got to have that ear candy.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's
the tone.
What's jumped up before we get into this football stuff? What has jumped out to you the most about the four episodes that we've seen?
I think I kind of forgot how good Scottie Pippen was. That's what's really jumped out the most to me. And I forgot how much Phil Jackson's offense changed just the individual statistical impact that Michael Jordan had. Those are the two things for me. But I'll be honest with you, you know, I grew up a Knicks fan and I always hated those Bulls teams. So it's cool going back and watching it from this perspective. Because I could just appreciate it. You know, back then, I'm like, man, forget Jordan. Couldn't afford a pair of Jordans anyway, but didn't want them just because it was Jordan who always killed my Knicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
I was the same way. I never rooted for the Jordan teams. I had the utmost respect for him. But, you know, I guess I didn't like just the waves and waves of praise. I thought they captured it pretty well, though. You got in the retrospect. Because at the time, there's no question, there was a lot of that, Jordan can't win the big one. He's got all the flash, he wins the scoring titles, but they can't win. And so the fact that they had to work so hard to build up to winning a championship, they captured that pretty well last night. Because that was a big thing that we kind of forget because he ends up with six titles.
I learned a little bit more about the Phil Jackson. I didn't know the background of Phil Jackson. I mean, I know that the last time the Knicks were real powerhouses in the NBA, Phil Jackson played for the Knicks. Sorry, Teron. But I didn't know much from his playing days, but I didn't know much about, you know, him starting off in – and where did he go? Puerto Rico? Where did he go? Costa Rica? I don't even remember his first –
Yeah, Puerto
like
Rico.
Puerto Rico, like his first stop, and then to the ABA. Or was it the ABA? Or no, it
CBA.
Was CBA.
The CBA.
Yeah,
he won a CBA championship.
Won the CBA championship in, what, 84? And then, you know, just how the whole dynamic between Collins and Tex Winter and Phil Jackson. I have, you know, I lived through a lot of this, so a lot of this stuff is not surprising to me. But that dynamic, I didn't know much about, and I've been pretty intrigued by that.
He also liked to coach in jeans, which is a big thing. Good
he
style.
Right.
I've still never seen that. He liked to ride the plane in jeans and the rugby shirt or the flannel shirt and coach in the jeans at practice.
He's a very laid back dude. Part.
Yeah, one thing that did jump out to me, if you think today is the first time players started playing games, card games, and games on the team plane, yeah, just go back and watch this and realize that stuff's been going on for about as long as they've had team planes, I suspect. So what did you make of the six picks that John Robinson, who we'll have on today at 1 o'clock, what did you make of the picks?
Well, I thought initially – the Isaiah Wilson pick, you know, it's a good pick for what they want to do. And they actually managed to have the board play out perfectly for them, I think. And I'm actually writing now about the fit that Isaiah Wilson has for the Titans from many perspectives. So I think that was a good fit. I just don't know if it's going to give them an immediate impact. But still, you know, when you could get a player like that that will help you in the future, it's a good option. The pick of all picks that I feel they absolutely hit a home run with is Christian Fulton. And you guys know that I've been really high on his game. And he's a player that I know, you know, if you look at the Texas game, he struggled. You look at the Clemson game, he had struggles there with T. Higgins. But if you look at his overall body of work, and especially that Alabama game, he brings a lot to the table. And it's interesting because he will fit that bill as far as one of the guys that could bump inside and give him a nickel player, in addition to just being, you know, what I call putting the straps on receivers on the outside. So I think that's a really good pick. The other one I liked was Chris Jackson. And I didn't watch a lot of him coming into this. I didn't really know much about him. But going back and watching him, scrappy guy, he's gonna be a nickel option for them too. And they did, in fact, double down at corner. He is the double down. So it's Fulton and Jackson. So they got both of those guys to come in and help out. So I think overall it was a solid draft. I really want to see what Murchison does. I talked to one of my friends in Frisco, Texas, who actually trained Murchison. And I got a lot of really good things just as far as work ethic and his strength and power that he brings to the table. So it's going to be interesting seeing how that works out. I'm not a big fan of the Cole McDonald pick. I know everybody loves the dreads, which are gone, and, you know, the Aloha spirit, you know, him being a quarterback from University of Hawaii. But I'm not enamored with the pick the way some others are. But, I mean, it screams developmental to me. But I think when you look at that, this tells us that Logan Woodside is going to be the backup quarterback, and that's really the direction that they're going. And can't forget about the home run ability that Darrington Evans brings. That's something that is going to really help that offense. And he's the type of back that, if need be, he could carry the load. But I just like the fact that he has that speed, vision, and one-cut ability, along with the home run hitting ability, that is going to really work in this outside zone. That was one of the things I asked him about. So I think they're in good shape there. And that he's a guy that could 10 to 15 carries and give you a pretty good impact.
Now, I know you just spoke glowingly of Christian Fulton, but I ask you this question because on Friday I talked a lot about, and we had, you know, guys on to break down the draft like Dan Chonka and others, and we spoke with you on Friday, and the speedy receiver that I think they desperately, desperately need. And the more we talked about it, and the more we talked to people on Friday, I was like, second round, if a guy, you know, like Hamler is there, a little guy, but a fast, fast guy, or even a Claypool, the kid out of Notre Dame, or the Mims kid out of Baylor, two big kids, but are really fast. You know, it's weird to see 6'3 and 6'4 guys that fast. If they're there, the Titans have to jump on them. Now, Mims lasted the longest, and he was the 59th pick, so he was two picks before theirs. I say this to say, did that change their course? If one of those guys is there, do they draft a receiver, or was it Christian Fulton all along, in your opinion?
I think it was Fulton and Diggs like that. Somebody in that grouping, I think that's what it was all along, Jalen Johnson. I think it was somebody in that second tier all along for them. And granted, getting a speed guy would be really good, but I don't think if you're going to mention speed guy, I don't think you should mention Chase Claypool, to be honest with you, because, yeah, he ran a fast 40, but I challenge you to show me instances where that showed up on film. And that's the thing that a lot of us have a problem from this combine. Like you look at these measurables and say, okay, well, he ran this, so that means he's going to be a – no, it doesn't work that way.
And I actually liked Hamler and Mims. If I was ranking them, I liked those two above Claypool. But his size and speed did intrigue me, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and even, you know, the thing with Mims, and I like Mims, but one of the things that really – as I was talking about other prospects, one of the things that kept on coming up when I was talking about cornerbacks is, hey, go watch the Baylor game. He had a really good game against Mims. And it started to happen over and over and over again. And that being said, I wouldn't, you know, be one to say, hey, he's not going to be a good prospect, a good player. I think he's going to be a good player, but that's something to kind of be concerned about. And end of the day, I really feel like they – are confident in what they have with Khalif Raymond. And to be honest with you, when called upon, he delivered moment after moment after moment. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of being pleased with what he's brought to the table. And then you do have to look, you know, they signed Mason Kinsey, who is a vertical receiver. Christian Wilkerson, I really want you guys to watch him because from SEMO, He's a very good player also. So they got some guys that can help him from a vertical standpoint.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN. We're breaking down the Titans draft. Teron, I just had a thought, and I don't know if John Robinson addressed this at all. I didn't see anything. But do you think that they at all have thought of McDonald, the quarterback from Hawaii, as a guy that could be a little change of pace? Because he's a guy that's got a great vertical jump, he's pretty fast. I don't know if he can catch the ball at all, but do you think they envision at all exploring that? A Taysom Hill kind of guy, I don't think there's anybody like him, but a guy that you could put in a package or two?
Yeah, I think that is something that they talked about internally. They didn't talk about that with McDonald because that's exactly what I asked him on the conference call, and he said that he had a video conference with Art Smith, Coach Art, the OC, and with Coach Pat, the quarterback coach. So I would imagine that's something because, again, and if you look at his highlight reel, you know, he has that one where he runs, you know, the option and he goes around and he outruns everybody to the end zone. I think he is a guy you can have that package with, but if you're going to do that, he's going to be one of your active players. So what other position are you going to be short on if you're going to carry three quarterbacks? That's what you have to consider. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. He would almost have to be your backup quarterback. It would work out a lot better that way. And as you said, he probably won't be ready to do that, at least in the first year. And Logan Woodside, now you have to say his odds go way up. Do you think they still, though, bring in a veteran to go along and compete with Woodside?
I mean, it's possible. It's just all going to be about how the dollars and cents work because, I mean, backup quarterbacks are getting good amounts of money now. You know, so you look at what Taysom Hill got, and obviously he's more than a backup, but, I mean, we're talking about $10 million for a guy to do what he does. So I think it's really going to come down to what they do with that remaining money on the that they have left over as far as cap space is concerned. Is that going to go towards Clowney? Is that going to go towards, I don't believe so, bringing Logan Ryan back? It really just depends on what they do with that money.
Teron, just a thought I had, and we talked about it some on Friday, where I think John Robinson looks a lot of things. Where do I get a little extra value on a guy that maybe otherwise, under other circumstances, would go higher on the board if it was strictly about talent? With Christian Fulton and his background situation where he had to sit out a whole year because of using a different urine sample, I don't know what – I'm sure they did some pretty heavy homework in that. But if it were marijuana, I do think it's – I find it interesting. I wonder how different teams feel about that whole situation. Depending on what state you're in, especially, but in general,
Willie, you're breaking up pretty bad.
Has more first round value.
I mean, I think Fulton has first-round value, and, I mean, the fact that he fell to the bottom half of the second round is interesting, but, I mean, he's not the first prospect to fall. And I think when they're looking at that, I think it's bigger than just the marijuana. I think a lot of the issues that these evaluators had was just the dishonesty, you know, and submitting a sample that wasn't his. But, you know, Mike Vrabel did a good job of just explaining how he feels that Christian Fulton is a good person and made a bad mistake. And, you know, this is similar to what happened last year, you know, with the whole Jeffrey Simmons saga. So I think end of the day, I mean, yeah, it was a mistake the kid made. It definitely cost him. But I think that is going to be of gain to the Titans because now they have a prospect that had first-round talent falling to them, and he's going to mix right in with that group of defensive backs. I think that secondary is going to be pretty solid.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN. So looking at this roster right now, I still say it's incomplete. They have some things that they can tweak here and there, maybe some other free agents that can be added. But looking at Jadeveon Clowney specifically in the pass rush, an edge rusher that they did not address in the draft, what odds would you give the Titans in signing Clowney? Do you believe he's going to be here?
I do. I think he's going to be here. I would say 70% odds. I think there's a good, well, let's 60%, I would say. There's still, the Seahawks are still in the mix, in my opinion. So I think there are the odds, but I tell you this much, if he doesn't come to the Titans, I don't think it's time to cancel Christmas. I still think that defense could be good. I obviously feel like they need to add a total game record like Clowney. But, I mean, that's the beauty of this game. You have a player. I mean, who would have thought Shaq Barrett would do what he did last year? And, you know, sometimes everything hits. All the numbers to the safe fall into place, and you unlock something that's amazing. And that could happen, you know, with a Vic Beasley, a Harold Landry. You know, they have a pretty good group. Now, to get a great group, they would have to bring in Clowney. But, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about Landry and Beasley and Clowney, all there is pass rushers that you can rotate in and out. I love the thought of that, but as you say, time will tell, and we'll see what happens a little later this week or in the coming weeks with Jadeveon Clowney. The offseason program begins today virtually. I saw Mike Vrabel tweeted out a countdown that he was excited for that. What all can we expect from that? Obviously a different time. This is new, but the virtual meetings and everything that they're able to do with these guys.
Really is just a matter of install, right? You know, going back and looking at some of the concepts they're going to use. But more importantly, it's just an opportunity to get everybody together at the same time and just to push each other. They'll be doing training and things like that. But, you know, that's pretty much the extent of it. There's only so much you could do from a virtual standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. And I know Mike Vrabel said in the press conferences that, you know, it's just accountability on a lot of these guys, that the teams that are able to stay ahead and actually be diligent in their work during this time where they can't physically be together are the ones that are really going to stand out. I know that was a message he tried to deliver over the weekend and even before.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, you know, it is an opportunity for the guys to come together. And like you said, they won't physically be there, but, you know, still there are opportunities for guys to kind of to compete and even to take that leadership role, because that's something else we talked about, right? You know, with Casey and Woodyard being gone, you know, these are captains. Logan Ryan not around. These are guys who, you know, had the leadership role. So now the guys next up, whether it be Kevin Byard, who was a captain last year, but, you know, Derrick Henry, these are guys who will have opportunities to lead in their own way, whatever that may be, and I think that's a good thing for them as they continue to develop leadership.
Last thing, Teron, do you think they just they're okay going through the season not kicking field goals, kind of like they did last year, or do you think they're going to have a kicker this year, and who's it going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the issue with Greg Joseph, honestly.
You like him?
I'm not sure. He hasn't proven any reason not to. I mean, they like him, so, you know, they're seeing something that, you know, stands out to them. And here's the thing, right? Everybody went crazy about this Rodrigo Blankenship. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hilarious to me, you know, how not drafting him or signing him is supposedly going to cost them, you know, a game against the Colts. He was a solid kicker, but there were other kickers that were better, and that's why you saw three of them get drafted, specifically Tyler Bass from Georgia Southern. So, you know, I don't think that not drafting a kicker is going to be the downfall of this franchise. And Greg Joseph is fine as kicker. I don't see what the issue is. I know there are reports that they signed the Missouri kicker, so there will be competition there. There's nothing wrong with competition at the position.
Okay. I was just curious because I thought maybe there was a chance when you're in the seventh round, look, you know, you're just absolutely grabbing a handful of darts and throwing them on a board and hope something sticks, that maybe, who knows, maybe they pull the trigger on a kicker in the seventh round, but obviously they didn't. So I was just curious how you felt. So you think Greg Joseph is the guy?
Right now, that's the guy. I mean, I think that's what they're telling us for the most part. You know, they didn't draft a kicker. They've said it multiple times that they're confident in Joseph, but they brought in a rookie free agent to give him some competition.
Good stuff. Who do you have on this week? Do you know?
We're still working some things out. I have one of Christian Fulton's trainers. I have Trey Thomas from the Philadelphia Eagles to break down Isaiah Wilson. I have George Foster, who played for the Broncos and actually played for Georgia. I'm working on those guys, but we just have to work through a few things. But, yeah, we'll have something.
Are you sure that's not George Foster that played for the Mets, Teron?
Hey, listen, that's when I first saw his name a couple of years ago, that's what I thought, man. Number 15 with those pork chop sideburns, man.
The black bat. That's what I always remember, right? The black bat.
The black beauty bat, yeah. Big red machine.
Hey, TD, right. Jalen Hurts to the Eagles. We didn't ask you about that. What do you think about that pick?
I sent him a text, and I said, hey, man, I told him where to get cheesesteaks, and I told him just, you know, continue to have that thick skin. I like the pick, and here's the thing. Carson Wentz has been injured every year since his senior year in high school. So it is inevitable not to wish injury, because I really like Carson. I wrote a book about him and everything, you know, but it's inevitable that Hurts will get an opportunity to play. I think the pick is a really good pick. And, you know, he's going to win the Eagles fans over once he gets a chance to show what he could do. And don't be surprised if they have a package. I really think Peterson is going to have a package for him to have an impact, even when Carson Wentz is playing.
Just remember, the Eagles quarterback depth chart is going to read Wentz Hurts. So just keep that in mind. Teron, ooh, thank you so much for the visit. Always good to talk to you. And we'll check out your podcast this week.
Thank you, fellas. You guys take it easy.
All right, you too. Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is the podcast.
I don't even know if that's a dad joke. I mean, it's a fact, but it just.
What is dad joke?
No, it's a New York Post headline.
What does that even mean, honestly? What, like, I don't understand the whole dad. What does that mean, dad joke?
A dad joke is, I mean.
Well,
I'm asking Chase. Willie, I'm asking Chase. What is a dad joke? You threw it out there. What is a dad joke?
A dad joke is a joke that is viewed by, I guess, younger people as, like, it's funny, but only like people with kids and that are just being. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it, because
a Wentz Hurts quarterback depth chart joke is a dad joke.
Kind of, yeah.
I think it's funny.
I think it's fun. Like, I think most dad jokes are funny, which I don't know what that says about me, but, like, I think they're usually funny. So that's why I said, I don't know if Wentz Hurts is really a dad joke, because it's a fact. I mean, that is the depth chart. That is how it's going to read. But
no, I got to give Darren credit. Wentz Hurts is more of a clever New York Post headline. I can see that in a New York headline after the Giants sack Wentz and put him out of the game, and Hurts comes in and the Giants win. I think that could be a perfect headline on Monday's newspaper. A dad joke is more of an old joke, I think, and a joke that younger people think is corny, but they have to admit
that's
kind of
a
funny.
Better way.
But,
yeah,
they don't want
to
laugh.
Right, then that's not a dad joke. That's my point.
If that's a dad joke, we're really lazy with the term dad joke.
Well, and that's why I said I don't think it's really a dad joke. It's more of a fact, but then we got into explaining what a dad joke is.
Right, but you called it a dad joke.
No, I said I don't think it's really a dad joke. That's how I started this whole conversation.
Did you or did you not call it a dad
joke? Roll back the tape, Marquise. Roll the tape. I just think we use that a little too much.
On the
I think we
court
get
now, like what the hell?
The whole dad joke stuff. Like that's just I thought that was funny. I mean,
it was funny. I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not saying dad jokes are
dad
bad.
Dad jokes can be funny, but that
I think
was
dad
not
jokes
dad joke.
Are funny. Why is it such a bad connotation that dad jokes aren't funny? Come on.
Willie makes dad jokes all the time,
and I think they're funny sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, I mean, I didn't say they're all funny, but
right.
I think that's part of
the dad joke. Some dad jokes are just simply not funny, or they're funny because they're not funny.
What was the one that you made about a canoe that became a promo?
That was Willie usually footnotes his jokes like, okay, before I say this dad joke, he like, you know, he just goes on and gives it the title dad joke. And then because that's he did that with that joke, which was, you know, I thought it was funny. It's corny, but it was funny. I'm going to play a game with you guys when we come back. Emory Hunt is going to kick off the second hour. When we come back, I'm going to give you we're going to play the game of their odds right after the Super Bowl for this upcoming season to win the Super Bowl, and now the odds after free agency has for the most part wrapped up, right? The bulk of free agency and the draft. Who went up and who went down? Where are the Titans? Did they get better odds or worse odds? You ready for that? We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And that's not a dad joke.